COVID. Currently, they're just claiming there's a huge wait list, which, yeah, like, there's kind of a long wait list for vaginoplasty, but if you've been waiting for, like, 6 or 7 years, like, you should just be at the top of the wait list. It's not like you're going to suffer less without the procedure.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Sleepy King starts now.
rising or falling, you never give up. On torturing me, that I sincerely hope will cheapen everything that I love, and cheapen everything that I trust, and cheapen everything we ever built.
Take two eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit. things for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working for someone else.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we do apologize for the late start. We were having some technical difficulties as we are doing a live broadcast from West Haven this evening. It's supposed to be our teen talks, but the teens seem to be a little bit gun-shy tonight. So it might just be the adults talking, but we are here at West Haven live with my co-host with check the most, zip.
Yeah. Check 1, 2. How we doing? My man, Kim, listen,
welcome back.
We get through what we got.
We made
get
it
through, man.
We made it.
Sometimes life throws you some obstacles.
Listen.
But we get through them, we take a breath.
Sends you some curveballs.
Thank you guys for your patience, for tuning in. We are live. We're here down at West Haven. We do this each and every last Tuesday of the month. I got to thank Kim. I got to thank CKUT and Soul Perspective for bringing the radio back to the community and letting us kind of take control and charge. So here we are. We're broadcasting live. 7405 Harley is where we are. And it is Black History Month. We are black. We are proud. And we have a lot of things to chat about.
Yeah.
And we have some special guests tonight. So why don't we start with our first ones and we can jump right into it.
Yes. So a couple of weeks ago,
Two weeks ago,
we had, it was Valentine's Day on Wednesday.
Lovers.
So there was a black love discussion that happened. And our first guest is Evelyne Ferrière, intervenante en prévention de violence sexuelle et exploitation sexuelle à prévention CDN. NDG, titulaire d'un baccalauréat en sciences politiques, Evelyne, originaire de l'île Maurice, se spécialise dans les enjeux de justice raciale et afro-féministe dans les contextes occidentaux et africains. Elle est passionnée par tous ces défis de justice sociale et a toujours souhaité pouvoir y participer tout au long de son parcours. Elle commence sa carrière dans le domaine du droit dans son pays d'origine, mais décide finalement de sauter le pas et de rapprocher de cet engagement qui la passionne le milieu politique et communautaire. Et là, maintenant, elle est à Montréal. Yeah. Et notre coéquipière, la coordonnatrice du programme Genre et Égalité chez Prévention, yeah, CDN-NDG, c'est Olivia Mabot.
Mabote. Yeah, that's an African name.
All right, let's go. Well, get close to the mics because we need to hear you on the air. And let me finish reading your biography. Titulaire d'une maîtrise en sciences politiques et d'une licence en administration économique et sociale, Olivia est passionnée par des thèmes comme l'inclusion, la lutte pour l'équité de genre, la justice sociale, l'autonomisation et l'entrepreneuriat des femmes ou encore le droit des femmes et des enfants. Ses débuts dans le domaine communautaire l'amènent à travailler activement pour l'arrondissement de Côte-des-Neiges et de Notre-Dame-des-Grâces en tant que coordonnatrice des programmes d'art, équité et genre. Mesdames, welcome to CKUT Soul Perspectives 90.3 FM.
Well,
it is a pleasure to have you.
Thank
and
you.
You're going to be talking with us about Black Love, an event that you had a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
So thank you very much for having us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Olivia, for being by my side tonight. So yes, we had an event 2 weeks ago on Black Love. It was a movie discussion with Black people. And it was an opportunity for us to talk about what means Black love for us, for our community, and for us as individuals. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about why you decided to organize this event.
Mm-hmm. As you said, it's Black History Month in February right now. Yeah. And on the 15th, but just the next day after Valentine's Day, for us it was a great opportunity to discuss Black people and Black love.
Mm-hmm.
And why this, why a movie? Because watching Black love, watching Black people love
okay.
each other was a topic I want to bring on the table to talk.
De son album, attention, excusez mon suédois, Till Her Jag Zombestämmer Inte Du. Et on a commencé avec Ambroise, Lune Très Belle, enfin, Ambroise, je crois, L'Espace de Vivre.
So, and to use this, this day for us to commune together on this topic, Premature, movie for youth
okay.
on Black love in the U.S.
Okay,
yeah.
And so tell us more about the event.
Oh, the event.
Okay.
Well, how
the committee is responsible for CKUT programming. If you have any specific complaint regarding anything you have heard on air at 90.3 FM in Montreal,
so basically, we just showed a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after that, it was a discussion.
Right.
And love meaned, and after that, when you, what we could understand is that
postal or personal deliveries only. CKUT's address is 3647 University Street in Montreal, Quebec, H3A2B3. The committee is committed to ensure listener complaints are given serious consideration. Listener feedback can be left at the following number: 514-448-4041, extension 2547.
Caribbean Food Factory is available for all your special occasions. Come get a taste of authentic Jamaican cuisine prepared by none other than Montreal's top chef, Lloydie. You can also come sample our homemade natural juices. You can pick up, you can dine in, or you can also have it delivered.
And just to wake us up a little bit about our vision and how our love is viewed by
the people who were viewing the film.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what were some of these questions and what were some of the responses that you received?
So we start with the question, what means Black love for you?
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that was there, it's like, it's the first time I heard about Black love.
Wow.
And the word Black love, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that was so important for us to, for the first time for them to bring it, to explain what it can mean for us, and for sure that it can sound differently for each of us, as Black individuals, mm-hmm. Black woman, a Black man.
Mm-hmm.
So Black love, from this discussion, it's sure like it sounds like a community. Black love, mm-hmm. melanin, Black love, hair, Black love, man, woman, and Black love, family. And from this discussion, yeah, the first question was about what it means for you, Black love,
mm-hmm.
and how do you cultivate Black love? How do you show Black love in your daily life? So it was about a little bit from starting from this. Yeah.
Okay. And was there, did you guys make a distinction between romantic love and platonic love and love for your friends, your family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Very good question. We made a difference between relationship, mm-hmm. Black love in your relationship, in sisterhood, brotherhood, in a community. How can Black love can be shared in different ways,
mm-hmm.
for us, as you say, in family. For the event, there was a lot of men, of Black men.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a discussion about how Black men and Black dad can love,
mm-hmm.
and can cultivate Black love in their family, and also how Black love can be with community, as a collective recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we can cultivate Black love to heal together,
yeah.
and also in the movie, Black love in relationship. How can I love a Black man? How a Black man can love a Black woman?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the topic of what can mean Black love in all the different forms.
Mm-hmm. And so let me ask y'all, what is Black love for you?
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
wow, that's a good question as well.
Because you are Black women, so
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Black love for me is community, is sharing, is laughters. All of these things are just simplicity of life and living. I think that in my experience and how I saw my parents and, you know, myself and my friendship, I just see just black love with so much simplicity. And sometimes we try to complicate things and we try to view black love as something very difficult and complicated. So for me, it's just living black is just a joyful experience. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is what black love is about.
Right. And for you, Evelyn?
And for me, black love is a conversation. It's a conversation, is a reparation also.
Okay. And why a reparation?
A reparation from the perspective of history. Mm-hmm. How black love for us, black community and black people, black women, how is a reparation from the past?
Okay.
How we can learn to love as black people from the past, from the, and to break the cycle of destruction, of family destruction of black people and black community. Mm-hmm. But for me, black love means and conversation, healing, and caring. Mm. A lot of care, yes.
Zip has come from his duties,
you know,
walking around. So I got to ask you, Zip, yes. What is black love for you?
See, that's my, as a black man. Two of my favorite words right there, black and love. Mm-hmm. What is black love? Well, listen, black love to me is energy exchange, man. Oh, it's nice. You got two different people, or it could be within a community, or it could be within a family, and it's just, you know, your thoughts, your actions, your touch. It could be your, you know, cooking food. It depends what your love language is. Mm-hmm. But black love is really whatever, as a black person, you do to exchange energy with someone you appreciate and you care for. So.
Yeah.
Keep spreading black love.
Nice.
Let me answer my own question.
Go ahead.
Black love is a cultural experience. Mm-hmm. It's something that it transcends the barriers of that have been instilled by colonialism, by racism, by systemic limitations that we have. Black love for me is me walking in the streets, seeing a brother, making eye contact.
That's what I'm saying.
And giving a nod.
Brotherly love.
Black love for me is seeing a woman, her making eye contact with me, black woman, of course, and smiling.
Acknowledging.
And acknowledging one another and continuing
keeping
on our
way. Keeping it there, man. Listen, I'll tell you, that is one thing that I often try to do. I remember.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Black love is ackee and salt fish with some fried dumpling.
Yes.
In a group.
That's a love language. That's a love language.
A lot of mercy.
Right there.
There's so much like black love for me is like it's rooted in the way that we interact. We just move different. When two black men come together and they shake hands, there's a whole code in the way that we shake hands. I want to give a little anecdote. I am every Wednesday I go to my son's library and I volunteer at the library. Mm. And there's this kid for the past couple of weeks, every time I see him, he comes up to me, he holds out his hand like this and we do
dap him up.
Slap slap boom.
Cap
with the
explosion
at the end.
Of course.
And for the first time last week, I read a book to the two groups that come to the class.
Nice.
And afterwards, the kids, well, in the second group, there was one kid. She was not even looking at the book. She was like fixated on me the whole time. Wow. I was sweating bullets because it's the first time I ever did this.
Yeah.
And like she was, and to me, that was because I read Sulwe.
Yeah.
The book about colorism by Lupita Nyong'o. And she had that book and she was just fixated on me, and that to me is a form of black love.
That's black love.
And afterwards there was one of the kids, she came up to me and she was like, "J'ai vraiment apprécié ton livre." And she gave me a hug.
Oh, that's love.
And I'm sure that if I was one of the other people then, you know, that wouldn't have happened. And that book wouldn't have been read.
That too.
You know? And like all of the black kids, they were like focused, like zeroed in, laser focus.
And that's the biggest point, I think, with black love. Mm-hmm. It's also got to include self-love. And I think the images that we see and how we're portrayed, and I think that things are changing. I think things are different than maybe they might have been in the past. But it's building your children with that sense of self-love to be black.
And black love for me as well is loving the accents of the different people that come and visit us here on Soul Perspectives. And owning our accents.
Absolutely. Yes, we like love that. We love it.
Right?
Yeah. Franglais. We love that. I like the Franglais.
I love the Franglais. Yeah.
Listen. Actually, so why don't we remind them once again when the event is?
The event happened.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago.
Okay. And anything coming up in the future you guys are building?
Oh, she's the one who's working hard. So you have to ask her.
Yeah, go ahead. What you got?
So just next so people week, know. For Women's Day,
we March
have,
8th.
Yeah, we have a dance activity heading through our body for women. So it will be on the 8th of March at Bienvenue Côte des Neiges. Bienvenue DJ, sorry.
Okay.
And on our social media, we can find the info.
And beautiful. What is the social media?
Yes, how they can follow.
On @AdoSexInfo and on Prevention Côte des Neiges DJ on Instagram.
Yeah.
Dope. So listen, I got a little bit of black love. I'm going to spin one track. I'm going to come back. I think we got Dr. Jafrali and Afro Heritage people. We are live now. Had a little bit of hiccups at the beginning, but we back on track. Got to pick up my man, Kim. You're listening to Soul Perspective.
Here on CKUT 90.3 FM. And just a reminder to folks before we head off, this year is Soul Perspective's 30th anniversary, and we're going to be doing something a little special in August. So keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Hey. Hey. What is? I'll tell you something about this black love. It ain't easy cause we lack love, but I still want that black love. Yeah, we still need that black love. I'll tell you something about this black love. It ain't easy cause we lack love, but I still want that black love. Yeah, we still need that black love. Why we so disconnected? Sometimes we talk, it feels like we speak a different language. I want your mind, your body, melon, I got you painted. But when we argue, feeling like we saying the same thing. Two alphas dominating the conversation. I don't blame you cause I know that it's deeper than ego. And had to get it on your own, survival as we know. Mandatory in the world, what's good with my people? Dominated by force. Saturated by masculine, why of course. See the balance and imbalance, they loving it that we lost. I know the man and the woman, we need a cause. They get paid for the marriage even more if we divorce. You want a bond that's deep enough so I see you. I understand we juggle the power that make us equal. And anything is possible, respect and the love, and with you by my side, I project way above. I'll tell you something about this black love. It ain't easy cause we lack love, but I still want that black love. Yeah, we still need that black love. I'll tell you something about this black love. It ain't easy cause we lack love, but I still want that black love. Yeah, we still need that black love. I can't see myself with no one but you still. Subjected to the program, the red and the blue pill. And maybe we should start our own rules, make a new feel. Conversations over candlelight, make the mood chill. I think that everybody's entitled to a preference. And we don't make mistakes or regrets, they all lessons. Everything you learn from your ex is all blessings. So now you know exactly what you want when you step in. Who really gonna give us advice when our background different? Step into our shoes and they wouldn't last a minute. Although it's hard, all I ever want is that love. And what's greater than that black woman, get that bag, woman. We setting all the trends, tell me what we lack, woman. I ain't saying that I got the answers. It's something to think about if we stand a chance of. I tell you something about that black love. It ain't easy cause we lack love, but I still want that black love. Yeah, we still need that black love. I tell you something about this black love. It ain't easy cause we lack love, but I still want that black love. Yeah, we still need that black love.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are here live at West Haven. We normally have teen talks, but the teens are a little bit shy this week, and it's okay. We're still at West Haven Live, and we got a couple people in the building. No stranger to Soul P, we got Dr. Sabrina Jafrali.
What's up, people?
And we have someone from Afro Heritage, I believe.
All of us.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so Sip, take it away.
This is another thing that Steve's involved in during his spare time, which is no time.
I was going to say, what spare time? The 1 minute?
Exactly.
The 1 minute a day?
Well, I mean, to break it down, Sabrina and I have been cool for years, kind of traveling about the space and always been interested in our heritage, our history, especially about, you know, this space, Canada, mm-hmm. that we call, and exactly where is our space? You know, Sabrina, Dr. Jafali, teacher at Westmount High School, and we love to share our knowledge. I'd often come into her classroom, and during the pandemic, we sat down, and she came up with this plan. And
So I guess you're passing it over.
Yeah, you see, that's a signal.
So first, I'd like to introduce, you know, Dr. Alice Chan, who's also my researcher in arms, McGill, PhD. We survived class of 2017, 2019.
We survived.
Yes. Oh, we survived. So let's talk about the project.
Yes.
So basically, we are on unceded territories across Canada, and we have to acknowledge the fact that many people have touched this land, mm-hmm. and that history has either been washed away, hidden, built on top of, and not exposed to our youth. And so the data doesn't lie. For those of you who are parents or a young person or just interested, the data doesn't lie. Currently, in Quebec, we have about a 51% dropout rate of young people. And then if you break down those statistics, out of that 50%, 51% are Black youths. And then if you look at that statistic, more than half are Black males. So
don't even you put the English part on top of that.
Then it's
dropping
everybody.
Even lower.
No, that's not funny. But ironically, as a teacher, and I teach ethics and religion, I was like, okay, why are they dropping out? And so the one thing that we notice is that they don't feel like they belong. The history curriculum, whether it's in French or English, is not representative. It's not visually representative. It doesn't talk about the history. And when you do hear about the history of historical equity-seeking groups like Afro-Canadians or people of African descent, it starts with slavery.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, don't get me started.
I come from a very proud heritage. My mother was Afro-Nova Scotian.
Scotians?
And we were raised with this very, like an armor of knowledge of who we are. And so my mother, and I have to say, you know, rest in peace, she passed a year ago, was a griot. And that's how the project came about, because when you meet someone who's Nova Scotian, they ask two very primary questions.
Okay.
What's your last name and who's your family?
Exactly.
So, Steve, tell us about your adventures in Nova Scotia, and then I'll talk about the rest of the project.
Well, I've got to say, I've always heard a lot about Nova Scotia, its history. I worked in Little Burgundy, which has a lot of Nova Scotians that are there.
Yeah.
And I've heard about it, but this was actually my first time traveling. Was it 2 years ago? Not that's the summer
yeah,
of the past, but the summer before that.
2 years.
And then we basically went down to do some research about everything Black and the history in Nova Scotia. And then we also had an opportunity to be there, timed it perfectly, at the Africville reunion, which is a historic place. And I've got to say, I was blessed to be out there to be able to interview some people and talk with some people, get some insight on information and facts about our history that I've never heard before.
Absolutely.
And that was kind of part of this whole project, was being able to bring this to the light of others. Not just, I mean, I love to travel and learn things, but even better to travel and share that with other people. So we've been on this project. We've been out to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Got to pick up all our Vancouver people.
We're heading out to Ontario. Oklahoma.
Yes.
And Edmonton. So basically the project is about this concept of griot.
Yes.
And a griot, in fact, everyone can be a griot.
Everyone is.
So a griot is a West African concept where a person tells a story, or they're a musician, but with the intention of passing down a history. And so Nova Scotians, in my opinion, my mother was a griot. When they ask you, what's your name and who's your family, they actually have a very interesting mental Rolodex or Google or search in their head.
You got that hard drive.
And they know from your name, they can pinpoint your relatives. And I was very curious, how she knew that. Mm. And that was the investigating question. And then I brought it to Alice. And maybe, Alice, you want to chime in about how you got into the project as well?
Yeah, well, I got into the project because of you. So thank you, Sabrina. Because really, this project is three organizations working together to bring this to the rest of Canada.
Absolutely.
So WIPCA, West Island Black
Community Association.
West Haven, yep.
West Island. Well.
And then the third group, the nonprofit that Sabrina and I co-founded, the Center for Civic Religious Literacy. So together, the three organizations funded by Canadian Heritage, Ecclesiastical Insurance's Community Impact Grant. So thank you to both of them. You know,
yeah, thank you.
We get to do this work all together. And so really, Sabrina and Stephen has brought me on to learn. I'm really part of the community that's learning from all the stories, learning from the griot as we go through the project together. So, yeah.
It's been interesting. For each of us, we all bring a different perspective to the project. Alice is learning, and I love to see this expand for Asian Canadians, for Indigenous peoples, for Indo-Canadians, for, you know, Persian-speaking communities, everybody who's touched this land.
Well, everybody has a history.
Everyone is a griot. But Nova Scotians are very good key gatekeepers of that griot tradition. And my concern was that our griots were dying. They're aging.
Yes.
And they die with the knowledge with them. And so my memory is not like my family. I don't remember. And I said, I need to document it. And actually, that's inspired from my time at the Yad Vashem in Israel, where Jewish folks would actually record their elders and put them in a database so people could go there, pull up their last name, and find their relatives that they may have lost in the Shoah.
What?
So that was quite interesting. And that's what we did in Nova Scotia, in Vancouver, in Oklahoma, which, by the way, fun fact for everybody, they have something called the Thousand Descendants, who left Oklahoma, moved up to Alberta. Alberta's cold as ass. And they moved up there. They toiled the land.
Yes.
They made it work and brought out three beautiful Black communities, one of them being Amber Valley, which was honored last year on our Canadian stamp.
Yeah.
So we are here. We are part of this Canadian tapestry and history.
We've been here. And I think that's the beautiful thing about it, too, is I've learned so much. And I'm really excited to, you know, our final steps and stages of how we share this is through a website.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be launching a website in June. So, you know, end of the school year.
Yeah.
We want to give you teachers ammo, because one thing, again, as you said, when I was in school, I barely learned any Black history. And again, the Black history I learned was about Americans, and it was about how they were slaves and then they were granted the freedom.
Yeah.
Like that, like we should be thankful. So I think for kids, and, you know, this is one of the things you brought up before, is that young people don't feel involved in the curriculum because they don't see themselves. So if they were to hear about, okay, well, there's this group from Tulsa that moved north and then toiled the soil and created a thriving community out in Amber Valley in Alberta.
Absolutely.
They may think, okay, you know, hey, I can create anything.
And there's many more things to come. Oh, we had our own Black Wall Street in Canada. Jimi Hendrix losing his virginity in Vancouver.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story we won't get into. But there is one last connection I should mention. Is that that's the West African tradition. So we historically know that the Black folks who walk this planet, who were enslaved and stolen and kidnapped, come from the West Coasts of Africa. So Benin, Ghana, Senegal, those colonial created boundaries. But the Andinkra symbols, which all three of us wear tonight, actually it's the symbol of our museum, mean that he who doesn't know will learn. And essentially it connects us back to our historical roots. And Andinkra is the West African currency or language and symbols that we used in our learning back before enslavement about what to do. So many, many people will know the one Andinkra where it says God is supreme. But if you catch us, you'll see us on occasion wearing our own Andinkra for the museum. And it's the motto.
Yeah.
So he who doesn't know will learn. And it's gender neutral, so they who don't know will learn. but very much looking forward to promoting that. And really thank you to the participants, to the elders. that we forgot the youth component.
Yes, you yes, talk yes, about yes, yes. Well, we do have youth that are involved. That I mean, part of the project is that youth actually interview some of these
elders
that have this information. So, you know, we're kind of that, at least at this point, that in-between generation.
Yeah,
we're not
staying
quite
that
the
way.
Elders yet, depending on who you ask. But we want to make sure that the people ahead of us, our, you know, forefathers, our parents' generation, are able to share information with us and to the young people. So then it will continue on.
And it's recorded.
And it's recorded. And, you know, we do have a little bit of a snippet
yeah.
of some of the information that
we
gathered so far.
Vancouver?
No, we're just gonna play the they have a little bit of kind of an intro,
okay,
letting people know exactly what kind of material is gonna be on the website. So gotta big up all the people that have helped us
yes,
out with the
Sean,
website, Sean,
Chance, D Shade,
yep.
Alice,
yes.
Kay. I mean, we have a lot of people involved from coast to coast, and it's been great. It's actually, it's been a bit stressful for me.
Yes.
It's a very personal project for
yes.
me. But, you know, it's been great making sure people know that part of the, one of the threads is us as
yes.
People of African descent. And Stephen is very creative, and we will be showcasing local music
yes.
for each province.
Yeah.
So local talent per province. And, you know, when we launch, we hope to see you here at West Haven. And thank you to all the participants, to the elders who are living and are now with their ancestors
mm-hmm.
who've dedicated this time, and Soul Perspectives for having us to discuss it.
Yeah, man.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
It's a beautiful thing, man. So, again, definitely go, and you'll hear more information coming up. Follow us. We are on Instagram. Right?
Yes.
Afro Heritage. We're trying to be more active. Don't worry. But when June comes around, you'll see us really active. We got an event that's coming down here. And again, we're out there, and we're out to Ontario. We're out to Alberta. So people
yeah,
listening
that's our next place.
Nationwide, look out for us. We're coming. And if you have any information that you want to share, there's going to be a spot where you can kind of
tell
a little bit of your story. Because this is not just about us. It's about every Black Canadian that has a history. And I want you to even get active and ask your parents.
Ask
have that
your
conversation
parents.
With your parents. Yeah. Because you know what? We take that for granted, that we can talk to them, that we can have
absolutely.
That opportunity. So.
Absolutely. And everybody is a walking griot. So
yes.
the moment you ask, they'll tell you their story. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things that people don't know about Canada. And, you know, it's not just Oliver Lejeune and Sam, like all those folks. There are some real deep folks who built this country.
Yes.
And going back to Alberta, that was a big one for me to learn, that thousands of folks, like these folks in Oklahoma, were getting postcards sent to them of hanging of Black people. And they were like, yeah, we're going to take
yeah,
that $10
go.
Trip up to Alberta and leave. And it wasn't easy up here as
no.
well. But for example, a fun fact for everybody too, there's a place in Victoria, BC called Happy Valley. I don't know why they're happy, but we'll get to that another time. But actually, it's a Black community that was founded by folks who moved up
mm.
to Victoria, BC. Now, Victoria, BC, if anyone's been there, it's not the most diverse.
No.
But there is a place called Happy Valley that is a Black community that was founded
mm.
and built by people of African descent from north to south. So.
And this is the knowledge we share, and this is the knowledge you hopefully soak up, and not just during February, the coldest, shortest
yeah.
month of the year. This is something for teachers, accessible all year long if you want to educate
absolutely.
Your kids about Canadian history.
Canadian history.
Which includes Black people, so beautiful
absolutely.
Thing. Maybe we'll get to the snippet.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the snippet, and y'all keep it locked. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT. 90.3 FM.
My name is Kay.
My name is Lister Sam.
What's your name, and are you comfortable sharing your story with us?
Yes. My name is Samantha Cole.
My name is Kay.
My name is Lister Sam.
My name is Oliver Jones.
My name is Clinty Rouse. I am from North Carolina.
I was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario.
From East Africa, from a small country called Burundi.
I was born in a place called Africa, where we're at right now. I was born here 75 years ago.
From Trinidad and Tobago, when I was 5.5 years old.
Born in Montreal, September the 11th, 1934.
My story is a big one, so how much time we got?
A day. If we don't share stories, if we don't gather and exchange and keep our heritage, then it's really hard to connect.
Most of my work has been concentrated on the history of the Black pioneers in Canada since 1792.
We need to physically see these monuments. We need to see the history. We need to hear the history.
Stories are how we live on. Stories are how communities grow. Stories are how we remember.
Until we have our community back, until there is reconciliation, until we are compensated for what they've done to us, then we're not on the same playing field.
I am happy.
I have a dream.
I got a dream.
One day.
We're gonna work it out.
One day.
We're gonna work it out.
One day.
We're gonna work it out.
I have a dream.
I got a dream.
One day.
We're gonna work it out.
One day.
We're gonna work it out.
One day.
We're gonna work it out.
I have a dream.
I got a dream.
That one day.
That one day.
That one day.
I'ma look deeper than myself.
Search of brighter days, I ride through the maze of the madness. Struggle is my address with pain and crack lips. Gunshots coming from sounds of blackness. Given this game with no time to practice. Born on a blacklist, told I'm below average. A life with no cabbage, that's no money if you're from where I'm from. Funny, I just want some of your son. Dark clouds seem to follow me. Alcohol that my pop swallowed bottle me. No apology, I walk with a bold on my shoulder. It's a cold war, I'm a colder soldier. Hold the same fight that made Martin Luther the king. I ain't using it for the right thing. In between lean and the fiends, hustle and the schemes, I put together pieces of a dream. I still have one.
I got a dream.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
I have a dream.
I got a dream.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
One day.
We gonna work it out. Dream.
That one day.
That one day. I'ma look deeper than myself. I gotta find a way.
I have a dream.
My dream is to be free. My dream is to be. My dream is to be. My dream is to be free.
The world see me looking in the mirror. Images of me getting much clearer. Dear self, I wrote a letter just to better my soul. If I don't express it, then forever I hold inside. I'm from a side where we out of control. Rap music and the hood play the fatherly role. My story like yours, yo, gotta be told. Trying to make it from a gangster to a godlier role. Red scrolls are stone slaves and Jewish people in cold cage. Hate has no color or age. Flip the page. Now my rage became freedom. Right dreams in the dark, they far, but I can see them. I believe in heaven more than hell. Blessings more than jail. In the ghetto, letting love prevail. With a story to tell, my eyes see the glory and well. The world waiting for me to yell. I have a dream.
I got a dream.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
One day.
We gonna work it out.
I have a dream.
Yes, Yes. We are back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are live from West Haven. We got it started a little bit late because we had some technical difficulties. You know, we had to get that started out. But Stephen Ziplock's Hennessy, who you normally hear on Ill Groove Gardens every Sunday night, he got us hooked up. He got us connected. And so we're back. We are in the studio that Zip created, and we have a brother with us this evening who is the reason why this studio was created. So, Zip, take it away. First of all, tell us the tracks that you played.
Before that, we had Common with Freedom Fighters. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what I played before. I did play Black Love by a group called Passport in the States,
yes,
which is all about black love. I had to play some James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Mm-hmm. And
at the top of the hour?
Yes.
Well, at the top of the half hour.
Where we started. Kim, thanks for making it through. So,
yeah.
Listen, we are here down at West Haven in this studio, which when I first started here 17 years ago, I only know that because my daughter is 17 years old.
Right.
Big up, Zaria. And, I remember coming and starting here, and this room where we are now was an art room. And they had this big art table to do arts and craft in there. And I used to come here to do this teen program. I used to work at West Haven. I decided after I had a child, I need to work closer to home. So I start here, and if you know the Elmhurst area back in, let's say, 20 years ago.
Or early 2000s.
Yeah, it was kind of rugged.
Right.
It's kind of rugged. I remember, I lived in the area. I remember, again, coming from the West End, walking down the street, and some woman comes up to me, and she goes, "Hey, can I have a cigarette?" And I was like, "Okay." No, thanks. She goes, "Can we go in the back?" And I'm like, "What? Excuse me?" I'm like, in the middle of the day, what is going on in these streets here? And it was very live. It was very live. Drugs, prostitution, just people hanging in the streets. And I don't know if you want to call them gangs, but you had people that was getting together. And, you have young people that are living in that environment that are looking to try to get money, especially during those times, crime activity is going on. So I can't say this community was alone, but I remember when I came here, this young man, Black Gold, say what's up.
Yep, it's your boy, Black Gold.
He came here, when I started, he was about 14, 15 maybe. And actually, his brother Zoo was on last show.
Okay.
This is his younger brother. All right. And Zoo already told you about what he was into during them times. He was about them streets. And thankfully, he's one of those that turned his life around and is doing some great positive things now. But at that time, these young guys were kind of caught in the middle where, you have parents that are working hard to pay the bills and the rest of that. Then they're giving, their kid out, whether it be to the street or to the community center.
Right.
So we're thankful that, these guys will come to the center. We had a basketball, people would shoot hoops.
Yeah.
But with all due respect, that wasn't his game.
Right.
Not at all.
And not everybody's a baller, which I get.
And not everybody's interested in sports necessarily that way.
Exactly. So then I'm like, I see these two dudes and I'm like, "Listen, you guys come here." And I sat them down in this room and I said, "Look, I see you guys. I see you guys and I see your brothers getting in the game and all the rest of that, but you don't want that life, especially at this age, jumping that. Like, it's some things you're going to get into that you can't come back from."
Right.
And they actually had one of the big leaders from around this area who actually got shot by the police around them times.
Right.
And this crew was kind of moving a little bit without their leader.
Yeah. Right.
And so I was like, "Listen, fellas, let's do something different."
Yeah.
And I said, "What's going to keep you off the street? I get it. It's not going to be basketball, but what's going to keep you off the streets?" Mm. And then this dude looked at me and he's like, in his masculine little 14-year-old voice, "Yo, man, I like Tupac." And then he kind of said, "And I like poetry." And I said, "Okay, cool."
Did you say the poetry on a hush?
Exactly.
I like poetry. I don't want to let nobody know, but I like them poems.
Exactly. And so I was always looking at these dudes it's okay for a brother to expressing himself with words. You want to call it poetry, you want to call it rap. The difference is what? And notice he started with Tupac, who is a poet.
Yeah.
To me, I'm sorry, he's a poet.
So no apologies.
Exactly. He, as in Black Gold, then, I looked at him, I said, "Okay, so what if I build you a studio?" And these guys looked at me like, yeah, whatever, man.
Keep talking out this, the side of your face.
Build this studio.
Build what?
And then we had Canada Council of Arts, who gave us a grant to get started on creating the space. And, you know, if you watch the visuals, this space continues to grow.
Yeah.
But you were definitely the inspiration of, you know, what this space should be, as a space for young people to kind of express themselves, get things off their chest, and a creative lab for you guys to try and experiment. So I want you to kind of share your story.
Yeah, tell us what was the impact of you seeing him build this lab for you, because basically you asked for it.
So how do I say it? It still hasn't hit me yet.
Wow.
Like
17 years later.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I came back, you know, not too long ago, probably like a month or a little bit more. And I seen the center, the whole studio, the center in a whole, but the studio, I was like, dang, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It, in a life where, you know, growing up in the streets, and it's like you have, the life you live is very self-destructive, very self-sabotage, like, you know what I mean? The more reckless you are, the more respect you get. You if you think,
allegedly,
right? if you think, how I see it, if you think, you know what I mean, that if you second guess, you're soft, right? You're just supposed to act off impulse.
To act tough. You're supposed to have a reaction for everything that happens.
I remember one time a guy told me how he has anger problems, and I was like, man, I want anger problems too.
Wow.
Yeah, I swear. I was like, I want anger problems too. He just be acting out. I need to be acting. I think too much. That's how I used to think. That's how it used to be. But so let me run it back. So Zip basically changed my whole perspective. Appreciate you, Zip. Love you, Zip.
Always love back.
And basically showed me that there was a possibility that what I create can create even more. So he told me, how do you think about the studio? Building the studio. I was in disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
I've been living up to a lot of false hope. You know what I mean? A lot of disappointments. You know what I mean? To the point where I go to the point where it's like expectations lead to disappointment. And I strongly go by that. So I just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
But he has showed me how much love and how much dedication he gave to the youths, and everything like that completely changed me. I was like, wow, he really does care about us. And to get the studio popping, I remember the studio still had the toilet bowl in there.
Yeah, we had
to go and turn off the water source, so it didn't have that. You know, from the toilet bowl.
Okay.
You have to turn it off and then record.
And it was even
worse. And then turn it back on afterwards.
No. You see, the problem is when you turn it off, some fools sometimes would go in the bathroom and then use it.
Yeah.
And then not be able to flush. And then you come to record and there's been a... Anyway, I don't even have to explain.
Sometimes it just be like that. But it was encouragement, because you know when people say we're ishing on people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we were really in the bathroom ishing on people. You know what I mean? Dropping it ish. Back to back, no toilet paper, just unfiltered.
So what I love to see about these guys was your passion for it. Like, I don't know if you remember, but these guys used to come, you know, and there would be about four or five different dudes barking at space. And I used to literally give off half-hour segments for kids to try to record a track. And we're open here Tuesday, Thursday, Friday from 7 to 9. And it was at one point, they were cooking up four tracks a night. Right. In 2 hours.
Yeah.
They would take turns. They'd be outside. Okay, tag team. Next, I'm in the booth. True. Boom, 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 boom.
True.
So what, now that 17 years later, what was the impact? So how, like you said a while ago that you, it still hasn't hit you, but like, what changed for you? Because from what I understand from the discussion tonight is that you were heading in a direction to begin committing crime, perhaps, you know, heading into a gang and getting into a very rough life. Yeah. And how did your life pivot from when he actually met the expectation with joy as opposed to disappointment?
It was amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like we had the perfect person to be guiding us, right? Zip had it lined up. Zip had it lined up. that we were doing shows almost every weekend. I was performing almost every weekend. So even that kept me out of trouble too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You didn't have time. You didn't have time to think about the gang life because I have a Saturday. I have a show on Friday and Saturday, and I need to be ready. I need to have my lyrics on point.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
So I was just in the studio show, And a lot of us that that were in the studio and putting a lot of work in are like King K, El Mega, you know, they're very known in Montreal. You know what I mean? I took a more step back. I ended up teaching poetry.
Okay.
That's the thing that melted my heart, man.
Yeah. I ended up teaching poetry to children in alternative schools.
Oh, wow.
And tried to guide them in the path, kind of like how he guided me away from danger and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So it changed my whole life.
So what did you... So outside of West Haven, what did you decide? Because at 14, 15, you're in Sec 4, Sec 5?
14, 15? Oh, I failed a couple times, player.
Okay.
I would say 14, 15, yeah, Sec 1, Sec 2, around there.
And what did you decide afterwards? Because you eventually got to teaching. What was your trajectory after that?
So after that, to be very honest with you, after that, I got swallowed back in again.
Okay.
The streets got even deeper. We were like chickens, as you were saying, with the person we looked up to. He was gone, so we were kind of like a chicken with no head.
Right.
So the streets always end up pulling you in when you got people that are, you know, deeply involved in it. It would be like, oh, something is happening, you know, come holla, yo, reach here, da-da-da. You would always get pulled in somehow.
Okay.
So even though I was teaching too at the same time, I was still battling the street life from the conscious life.
Right.
But it was a deeper battle because I knew what I was doing wrong. I was aware.
Right.
There was the biggest difference now. Mm-hmm. You know, on it.
So because Zip had created this space for you, he had given you a higher level of consciousness.
Exactly.
It wasn't just about, okay, I need to get this money. You were like, yo, what I'm doing is not right.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
And how did you like finally rise above that?
So I ended up having my first son, Ezra. Okay. Ezra. I had my first son, and I completely got out the streets. It was my son.
Having that child will change your whole perspective.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Because I've seen so much. You know what I mean? I've seen so much. I've seen friends doing time in jail, being away from their children, all of that. And I was like, I can't go through that same path, that same journey. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So once I had my first son is when I dropped everything cold turkey. That was 25. I was 25 years old. I was still working, doing all of that, but I dropped it completely, started from scratch, and built from there. So it's been... I'm 31. It's been six years. 6 years that going on to seven that I haven't been in the streets, and there's no way I'll ever go back. You know what I mean?
And what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm just gaining up my fatherly skills, coming back to making music. Soon, I'm going to be launching a podcast on men's mental health. It's called The Fundamental. Fundamental, as in your mind. So it's very important. It's about parenting, men's mental health, self-care, self-awareness. What I realize is a lot of men get out the streets and we act like we're all good.
No.
We act like we haven't been traumatized. We just hide it in some type of chest in the attic of our minds, in the abyss.
But the thing is, it's a living, breathing... Trauma is a living, breathing thing that...
It doesn't disappear.
It's like The Blob, that 80s movie, The Blob.
Yeah.
It just get... The more you try to hide it and push it down, the more it just... Pops. It grows and grows and it just festers and it can... It manifests as different things. It manifests as abuse. It manifests as self-harm. Mm-hmm. It manifests as you know, all kinds of things that we don't need in our lives.
Exactly. So what fatherhood, what it taught me is initially that there's a lot of things I haven't fixed yet because of my children. My children are a reflection of me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I'll just be like, oh, man, I can't approach that way. I have to approach it more gentle. Mm-hmm. You know, in the hood, it's crazy out here. So it just changed my whole perspective. I'm just constantly learning. And that's my main focus. My main focus is to become a better man. Even though I already am, I just need to channel it.
Each day,
live
man.
By that.
And you keep right? getting better. At the top of the show,
yes.
we'll say, we were talking to two sisters who did an event called Black Love, and we asked everybody around the table, what does black love mean to you? And to close out the show tonight, I'd like to ask you, what does black love mean to you?
Ooh,
especially now that you're a father.
Black love is understanding your history. Once you don't understand where you come from, then you're lost. You need that journey. Black love is showing appreciation to people who are like you. Understanding who you are, to raise strong, respectable men and women, to understand the trauma, to grow from the trauma, exactly from what you were saying before, the food, the way we love initially, the affection, cooking. My love language is cooking. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I care
Same
for
here.
You, I'm cooking
I'm
up a
cooking
storm.
Up a whole
You're getting plump. Year. You're getting plump, all
you
right?
You told me you loved me before, so
I got
you. You're getting fluffy.
Yeah. You know, so black love is almost endless. Mm-hmm. Black love, the basic foundation of black love is self-respect. Mm. Once you respect yourself, then you respect others, you respect the people around you, your group, and you grow from there. You put that seed in, give it to your children, and let them reach for the skies. Because they say that the sky is the limit, but I think not. Mm. I try
I like
to go
that.
To Mars.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
I like that. Blast off. I could say NASA sponsored me, okay?
Yeah. There you go. Taking off my man, Black Gold.
Black Gold,
thank
Black
you
Gold,
for
Black
coming
Gold.
Down. Again, how can they follow you? How can they support?
So my Facebook is Black Gold with an extra K. My Instagram is Black Gold 92. Yeah, 90s baby, 90s baby.
There you go.
You can follow me there. And I'm happy that everybody stay tuned, and I appreciate you guys, man. Black love, black love, black love.
There it is.
So we still have a couple minutes.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a poem that you could share with us before you leave?
Oh, let's do have a poem.
Something around love.
Okay. All right.
You want the track or you want?
No, I'm just going to do it like this.
Okay.
Okay. So I never really found a ray to reflect. Looked in the mirror, didn't find no self-respect. I said I love myself, but all the time I neglect. Certain buttons they see, they try to press. I'm never impressed by money and certain things. I used to been under a rock like I never heard of things. I look to the horizon and I try to rise. Search for something around me, but the whole time it was inside. I love my complexion. It's crazy sometimes I look in the mirror and I understand the message. Where am I dwelling? I was in hell, but that was just a mind state. When I was younger, selling dope on the block, trying to increase the crime rate. Looking like, am I too old? Am I late? Trying to understand what's going on while saying grace, the food on my plate. But it was all poison. God tried to show me the path, but I ignored it. Black History Month is more than a part of me. It's attached to me like my arteries. Guidance. I'm not a sheep, but if you want to, you can follow me. I speak deeply, verbally. I might just fight against a demon. I'm like a titan. But no matter what, I move forward. Going against the minute and the hour, never been a coward. I don't need no umbrella when I'm standing in the shower.
Woo!
While it drizzled down, I'm stuck to the ground, I'm 10 toes. I look to God, and he always shows me where to go. Black gold.
Black
gold.
Gold!
I'm so happy
Thank
I did
you.
That.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I asked that.
Brother. Off the top.
I felt it. I was wondering if you were freestyling that poetry.
I'm telling you, man, sometimes you forget how many talented people you have in your circle, man. Mm-hmm. I got a big black gold up in all the people. We got my man Widget who came down.
Blizzard, Block Mode.
Clarence, we got everybody. We had Snake. We had Shawnee. We had actually a brother,
that was lit.
Young brother that I gotta play some of his music at some point
his
in time
music
on
is
the
amazing.
Show. Snow Side from Uptown. Gotta pick him up. I wanna have him come down. Mm-hmm. And my man Tokyo is also in the building. He's in
talented
the back pressing
man.
Buttons doing
talented
things.
Man.
Again, if you want to get involved in what's going on, you know, you had your time, but now, again, teenagers, you can come down. You got access to a free studio. We've got photography. We've got podcasting, obviously. We've got all these different things, DJing. Whatever you want to do, come down Tuesday, Thursday, Friday down at West Haven, 7405 Harley, and get to know, you know, your own skills, your own talent, your own, you know, capabilities. And reach for the sky. Because, again, you know, if it wasn't for this studio, you wouldn't be able to spit like you used to, like
That's
you did
true.
Just now.
That's true. That's so very, very true.
That, as you know, what makes me the most proud was seeing you on stage perform the other day and being able to bring you out here. So this is where the love gets
that
circulated. That's
exactly.
Black love right there.
Yeah.
You know, an older brother shows his younger brother how to do things mm-hmm. and guides him in the right direction. And then at one point, we see the younger brother going out there and doing his thing proper. So I got to give mad
yes,
respect
yes,
to my
sir.
Man Black Gold.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, big thank you to Kim Ferguson for hosting and coming down and adjusting
real,
on
real.
The fly.
Listen, we got to do what we got to do,
cool,
baby.
Cool, calm the whole time. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So that's what we do, CKUT. We're at every last Tuesday of the month. We're going to
yes.
be broadcasting.
So the next time that we'll be on the air at West Haven will be Tuesday, the 26th
yes.
of March. And I just want to let some folks know what's going on in the city, what's going on with me,
go
because,
ahead.
You know, I don't take
Talk
that time.
Yeah, no, I always say, Kim, you got to promote your own ish, girl.
Yeah, so Let's next go. Week, next week, Thursday, the 7th of March, I am going to be on stage
right.
with Alex Laferriere, Jeremy, oh my God, I'm forgetting his last name. And we also have someone who is on sound, Riel, and she, our team is going to be Dominoes at the Crossroads, a play which is playing at 3680 Rue Jean Mons.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale, infinitetheater.com. Tickets are on sale now. Preview is, I think, cheaper. The tickets are cheaper for preview, and there is a couple of days that are pay what you decide.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have like, you
working
know,
on a budget,
working on a tight budget, you come, you watch the show, and you drop yeah. something in the pot.
Yeah.
That's running for 2 weeks. And on the 10th, right after the play, I'm heading over to my show, which is called Inside Mad Poetic Studios,
another
which
segment.
Is an open mic.
Yes.
A feature.
Uh-huh.
And an interview with the artist afterwards, because this show is dedicated to Bad News Brown.
Yes.
And it is also the important part, the important aspect of the show is getting to know the artist, because you can know their work, but you don't know who they are. And
True
we want to give you a little glimpse, a little window into our feature artists. And we're going to be featuring Lady Catalyst. So,
okay.
Leave your kids at home
yeah.
because Lady Catalyst don't play.
Yeah, well, listen, you've had some crazy dope. I was down there. You had Jason, right? You had Jason
yeah,
that came
had
Jason.
Down.
Jason Steele.
Before that, we had Aaliyah Truth. After that, we had Rowan.
Rowan.
And this past
Big
month,
Rowan.
We had Jonathan Emile. And we are now 8:28 p.m., we do have to log off and let the other shows play.
I'll play a little bit of Bad News Brown to take us out. A
little Bad News Brown. So we're back again next week, Tuesday, March the 5th. You can listen to us here on Soul Perspectives, CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I have my guest host, Steven Ziplocks Hennessy. You can hear him on Ill Groove Garden every Sunday. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're going to hear some Bad News Brown.
Let me play my melody. Just let me play my melody.
Why don't you hear me play? listening to CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. Everybody listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.